Thank you to Elder Boaz Boone. This afternoon, I acknowledge the cooperation and the support we have received from various other Bible Presbyterian churches, especially Tinga. So thanks to Elders Frederick Lan, Elder Boaz Boone, and others who have always come to help us. And he gave me a CD here, and I say this is a great blessing to us. This is a gospel CD for those who want to witness in Chinese, in Mandarin. Gospel tract in audio with songs. Five for $10. Where can you find this? So they are all available outside, please. Those of you who want to witness for the Lord in Mandarin, this is your opportunity. Since January, we have been featuring various hymns. There is no better way to spend your Lord's Day evening than to sing the songs of heaven together with citizens of heaven here in the church. So I want to thank you as well as congratulate you that you are here tonight. Just wonder why there are not more. As Elder Boone has pointed out, tonight all the hymns are by John Wesley. And so it is my greatest joy to share with you the writer of the closing hymn. And the closing hymn is Christ the Lord is risen today. Today being the resurrection day. Who was Charles Wesley? As I researched into his life, I was amazed. This man who wrote not just these four beautiful hymns, but he's written over 6,000. Say, how on earth could one man write 6,000 hymns? And not just hymns by numbers, but hymns that are really blessing to those who sing. Were you not blessed with these four hymns? So we want to see something of what God did in the life of one man called Charles Wesley. He was the 18th child of his parents, Samuel and Susanna Wesley. I am absolutely sure that none here is the 18th child of his parents. But how could he do it? How could the parents do it? To have 18 children. And not only that, God's Spirit came on this man. He and his brother John Wesley went to the most famous university of the world. You guess what that is? Oxford. I think Elder Boaz Boone went to Oxford, right? Or Cambridge, or equally famous, but it's the ambition of so many people, if only I can go to Oxford. Now, that in itself is not the blessing that I'm going to tell you. But John and Charles Wesley went to Oxford. And there the Spirit of God came upon them. And they started a club. Can you guess the name of the club? The Holy Club. Amazing. You could not do that except the Spirit of God come upon you. And there they began a movement. A movement that started with two brothers, John and Charles Wesley. And that movement grew into the Methodist Church of today. Amazing, isn't it? I say, the Lord Jesus says, greater things than these that you have seen, than I have done, you will do in the day to come. Isn't it wonderful? Jesus says, it's expedient for me to go back to heaven. But if I do not go, the Holy Spirit will not come. Today we are so blessed, so struck by the great event of the resurrection, one man in all of history, never before, never afterwards, until now, that any human being rose from the dead. And then he said this, I must leave you. The disciples were troubled, even as we would be troubled if a very wonderful friend has to leave us. But Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. It is expedient that I leave you, because if I do not, God's plan for eternity and for the salvation of His people cannot be accomplished. If I go, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. Amazing. Amazing lesson for all of us. Amazing truth of God revealed in this, that because Jesus rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, then the Holy Spirit came down to accomplish the great work of salvation recorded for us in Acts of the Apostles. The work of the Holy Spirit in two brothers. I say with all sincerity this afternoon, will you not pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon you, to transform your life? Do not be contented to just live a humdrum Christian life and say, well, as long as I can get into heaven, that's enough. That's good, isn't it? I say, yes and no. It's good to get to heaven. But I say, it is not good for you to just get into heaven and do nothing more. God can do so much more if only we would heed what the Lord says. Greater works than these that I have done, you will do. Because I go to my Father, and I will send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit Comforter will strengthen you, change you, will stimulate you, will cause you to think, what am I doing with my life? Holy Club began a work in the Oxford University. There the Wesley brothers began Bible study. This is the beginning of every work of revival. To read the Word of God. To allow the Spirit of God to work through that Word. And to cause Christians to come to the foot of the cross. And to repent of their sins. And to allow the Spirit of God to change them. And to turn their lives inside out. If necessary, upside down. So that there is a change. Are you willing, as Charles Wesley was, to allow the Spirit of God to change you and to work through you, that you will be a blessing? You need not write 6,000 hymns. It's a rare accomplishment. But you can do something. You know, we have been talking about witnessing, and this is one, the CD, $5 for $10. And it has been my practice, as often as I can remember, sometimes the memory is not so good, always to go about with at least one tract in the pocket and pray for some soul that God will open the opportunity for you to give the Word of God to somebody. Why won't you do it? Now, this is the reason why. Small edition, big edition, English edition, Chinese edition. But have something in your pocket. Be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you. To present the gospel simply because you know it is good to do. Simply because you know the Spirit of God in you wants you to do it. When Jesus went to heaven, He left the whole work to us. 11 disciples minus that traitor Judas, 12 became 11. And all the work of salvation onto the shoulders of 11 servants. Say, sure cannot succeed. Sure cannot. How can 11 people conquer the world? But Jesus says, it is expedient. I go to my Father. I will send Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit working with you can do that which you never thought you could do. So consider this. From that humble beginning, John and Charles Wesley began to turn the church upside down. Charles was ordained an Anglican priest. Call him a pastor, all right, so that we understand it better. And his preaching was against the trend, the usual way of preaching in the Anglican church. If you go to one, you wonder sometimes what they are doing. Everything is red. Everything is just what is in the book. And it's so dull and monotonous. I've been to a few. When I was in Northern Ireland, my friends took me there. I said, I don't mind to try out. And I was really puzzled, that kind of. Charles Wesley began to preach out of the Bible extemporaneous, expounding the word and the truth of God to the people out of the Holy Spirit in his heart. And the Anglican priest did not like it. They banned him. No more, Charles Wesley, you cannot preach anymore. What do you do? I say, when the Spirit of God works in you, you will find ways and means of overcoming difficulties. Dear friends, don't underestimate yourself. It is the Spirit of God in you that begins to work, and you will become great, able, effective, doing things you never thought you could do, because the Spirit of God moved him. He says, well, since you don't want me to preach in the church, I go outside. Itinerant preachers, going everywhere preaching, singing as he goes. That's how he could write 6,000 hymns. When the Spirit of God comes on you, you too will be changed. You do things you never knew you could do. So, very soon the movement spread around the country. At that time there was great social unrest, almost to the point of revolution, because the people could not accept that kind of system of government. So much of unfairness, of suffering, of social inequality, almost to the point of revolution. But God used the Wesleys through their preaching and through the Methodist Church to bring the gospel to the people, to say, what you need to do is to pray, to submit to authority, and to change authority, and not to go into revolution. And that saved England from revolution. Also, that work was so effective. People slowed down in the attendance of theatres, until the theatre people got very mad and almost caused a riot, because they had no business. I say, when that happens, you know God is working among his people. What can we do with 6,000 hymns? We can't sing all of them, that's for sure. We have in this hymnal 567 hymns. And we have not learned all of them. But I say, Sunset Gospel Hour is the place where we sing these hymns. And dear friends, we continue. It is my hope that from July, the second half of the year, we shall come up with a new compilation of songs. Old-fashioned gospel songs that we can all use to sing to the glory of God, and to sing the gospel message, the Holy Spirit message, into our hearts and our system, that we will begin to serve the Lord in a great and new way. Now turn to John's Gospel, chapter 14. Before we sing Charles Wesley's wonderful song for the closing, we want to get a glimpse of what motivated, what moved Charles Wesley, and what can move you, someone here who is willing to let God work in your life. John 14, verses 12 to 13. This is what I was saying, and we want to read this. Please listen. John 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Pause here and consider that Jesus was speaking this shortly before he went to the cross. He had not suffered. He had not died. So he had not risen. But these words are a prediction of what would happen because Jesus will conquer death and sin for us and rise from the dead for us, and then he'll ascend to heaven for us. This is part of God's wonderful eternal plan of redemption. And it must happen. You cannot go any other way. You cannot use any other method except this method. What method? Wait on the Lord. Pray for him. Pray to him. And then his Spirit will return. You know, Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. When I am gone, I will send my Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. I say, make this a major point of your praying every day. Lord, pour down of the riches of your grace through the Holy Spirit. Can you make this your prayer every day? If you mean business for the Lord, if you want to be used of him, and we are going to read into the life of Paul the Apostle how this happened to him, I say, you pray. We must be ambitious for the Lord. If my Lord is risen, if truly he is risen, and he is coming for me one day, and he has left the work for me to do, how can I do nothing and be contented with my own salvation? We all owe a gospel debt, dear friends, you and I. We owe that gospel debt. But pray, unless and until the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, you will not be changed. You just go on. Humdrum Christian life, as I said. And then in the end, arrive in heaven empty-handed. The Lord will say, what have you done? Oh, my friends, the Lord says, greater things than these. This is the prediction, the prophecy, as well as a command. I am going. I have done my job. Jesus came to take away their sin and to pay the debt which we could not pay. And he proved his victory by rising from the dead. Now he is ascended. He says, my Spirit will come back. You pray for that Spirit. This is a promise. When you pray earnestly, the Spirit of God comes upon you, you will be different. You will be able to do things for the Lord. Verse 13. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name. Oh yes, dear friends, I want to repeat this. Include in your prayer list, Lord, send your Holy Spirit into me. Change my life. Make me useful for thee. That I will not be ungrateful, having received the salvation grace and all the blessing that God has given to me through the gospel, that I will not go to heaven empty-handed, doing nothing for the Lord. Today, I remember your rising from the dead for me, to make my life meaningful, worthwhile, hopeful. There is something to hope for. I can look forward to something. What is that something? That I, in the day to come, will stand before the Lord and give an account. You too. You and I. How will you say to the Lord when he asks you, what have you done? And he says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. This is a promise. Do you dare take the Lord at his word? A promise? You ask it in his name, he will do it.
that the Father may be glorified in the Son. It's not to glorify yourself. It's not to become somebody great. But it is to do the Father's will. And this is the gospel mandate for all of us here. As God has done it wonderfully in one man's life, we want to read this. Turn to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9. On this resurrection day, it is good we want to examine how God changed the life of one man and made him the greatest apostle, the greatest preacher, the greatest writer of Scripture. One man called Saul, destroyer of the church. Acts chapter 9. All because Jesus rose from the dead. And while Saul went about breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, to the high priest, Jesus was watching him from heaven. Do you know that? Obviously, our Lord was not doing nothing in heaven. He is supervising all the work on earth. He's praying for his people, and his plan is being executed, being prosecuted to the uttermost. Verse 2. And Saul desired of the high priest, let us to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any in the Christian way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound back to Jerusalem to be punished. Oh, what a man! I say, you recognize here, Saul was no ordinary man. When he had a purpose and he thought it was right, he pressed it to the uttermost. With all that he had, he would do it. That is his character, and God gave him that character. I say, we all should have that character. But use it only after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Verse 3. As he journeyed, he came to Damascus, near Damascus. By the way, Damascus is still there. It's the capital of Syria. And it is a place in history. But that road is still there. And on that road, God met with Saul to change him. According to promise, suddenly there shone around about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth. In his testimony before King Agrippa, what did he say? He says, O king, the light was like that of the midday sun, brighter than that of the midday sun. It shone upon my eyes and struck me down. It was so bright and dazzling and so tremendous in power that I fell down. Verse 4, I fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who was saying? Who was speaking? Wonderful. Jesus risen from the dead is not for nothing, but this is the next phase of his ministry, no more on earth, now in heaven, supervising, overseeing, praying for us, praying for you. What are you doing for him? I say you, today, tonight, change your pattern of life, change your pattern of prayer. Say, Lord, you have saved me with your own lifeblood. You have promised that if I pray to you for your Holy Spirit, you will send that Holy Spirit. You make that prayer. You are going to see your life change, and you are going to be effective and used for the Lord. Now listen, verse 5. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. Wow. You thought I was dead, didn't you? That is why Saul went about killing Christians and persecuting them. I thought Jesus was dead and gone, crucified, buried, and rotting away. Now I hear this voice from heaven. I say, you hear this voice today, tonight. That this voice will speak to you as well, not just to Saul, but to you. Why? Because Jesus loves you. Jesus can use you. No matter who you are, you can be effective for God if only you are willing. Listen. I am Jesus whom you persecute. it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now comes the crunch, verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? This is what I want to give you tonight. Dear friends, every born-again believer, Christian, you ask this question. Verse 6, please see. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The risen Christ, now at the right hand of God in the majesty on high, will hear your prayer. You say to him, Lord, what is it you want me to do? Sincerely from your heart you cry out and say, Lord, here I am. Use me if I have anything that is useful for you. The rest is the story of how the Holy Spirit used one man, Saul, turned him into Paul, and made him the greatest servant of God, willing to go anywhere, anytime, anyhow, at the greatest risk to himself. Every kind of suffering, you can name it, he had it. He went through. All because of what? Of the working of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. It is the blessed Holy Spirit that can give you meaning in life. Give you an objective in life. Something worthy in life. Something glorious. Something so dignified. Something worthy of pursuing. To serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Now, a verse that is dear to me. St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. Right, turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. And I want to give it to you because they have been so glorious and so effective in my life. I will never forget these verses. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. Verses 36 and 37. This is my testimony. What the Spirit of God has done in my life. Why I gave up, forsook the chair of obstetrics in the university. For just one reason. Mark 8, 36 and 37. Jesus says to you, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Of course, I was already a saved believer. I was already a Christian. Dr. John Sung posed this question that time. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That was before I gave my life to God. I never forget that morning in the Telo Ayer Methodist Church. You can still go to Telo Ayer Methodist Church in Telo Ayer Street. It's still there, the same building. I was there, together with 1,000 others. I say, these things do not happen by chance. That day I was brought there by my parents. The whole family was practically there. And all who could hear, all who could understand, got the same message. Father repented there on the spot and stood up and confessed all his sins publicly with others who were moved by the Holy Spirit. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The soul, the value of the soul, what do you put on that soul? What is it worth? I say, it's all I have is the soul, not the body. The body grows old, crumbles, decays. The soul goes on. What shall it profit? And when this reality pressed on him, my father repented. I repented. On that day in August 1935, we all repented. When we repent, you know what happens? We all wept. For the sins that have sent Jesus to the cross. For the sins that make us so vile and wicked and evil and naughty and bad. Thank God he gave us that message. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I was saved. 1935. Gloriously saved. I never forget that day. Do you remember the day you were saved out of sin to become a Christian? Do you remember? Now the second day. 3 years later. I've told this so many times, but I must tell you again because it is the same story and you will be blessed. Father and mother and I were in Batu Pahat. And they told us, this is the last meeting of Dr. Johnson. It is going to be in Moa. Moa is 32 miles from Batu Pahat. Let us go. The last time to hear that man of God, you must go. I absolutely agree. Father and mother went. That morning, I never forget because mother fell. It was a little walk from where we were to the church, and it had been drizzling, and the ground was wet and muddy and slippery, and mother walked, and she fell, sat down. So, that is an incident on that morning that made me remember that that was the morning we went to hear Dr. John Sung. Alright, we got to the meeting, and again, the challenge is, what shall you do with your life, young men? I say the same to all of us here. What are you doing with your life? If God has saved you, what are you doing in return, in repayment, in gratitude to the great God who saved you out of everlasting death into everlasting life? What is it you are doing every day? Do you ever sit back and count and take reckoning, stock take, as they say? What am I doing with my life? Is there something I can do for the Lord that I'm not doing? How do you use your spare time? That morning settled my life. The Holy Spirit, as Jesus says, it is expedient I go. If I don't go, Holy Spirit will not come. And the Holy Spirit came. As we prayed and we sang those gospel songs, the Spirit of God came and said, you give your life. Yes. How do you give it? You do not know today. But it will be shown you in the day to come. Of course, I was only 13 at that time. How could I know what my career is going to be? But the main thing is, Lord, I promise, you have died for me. Let me live for you. I cannot die for Jesus Christ, of course. I cannot die for anybody. But I can live for him. I say the same for you. If you realize the great price paid for your salvation, you say, Lord, let me live for you. In the small way that I can do, let me live for you. I did. Never turned back. 1938. 1942, what happened? The Japanese came. The last day of the war was February the 15th, 1942. This was just 4 years after John Sung went back to China. And the last shell had fallen on Singapore. And General Percival surrendered. This was the beginning of the downfall of the British Empire. And I was there. And the last shell hit the bunker next to ours. We were living in Ah Hood Road in Singapore. And it went bang. And our neighbor lost a leg. I said to myself, I could have been in that bunker. The shell could have landed in our bunker. I could have lost my leg. I could have lost my life. So I was reminded, God saves you for a purpose. You need not to have a shell explode near you to be brought to your senses. The Holy Spirit can bring you to your senses. Holy Spirit calls you to think. What have I done for the Lord? What am I doing for the Lord? What am I going to do for the Lord? These things are pertinent. Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead to give you the everlasting hope in heaven. Without Him, you've got nothing to look forward to. You've got just a bleak and black future of destruction in hell. If that is so, what must I do with my life? So when the last shell exploded, I said, Lord, I have not forgotten. Please keep me always remembering, never to forget. your great salvation, not just from the shell, but from everlasting death into everlasting life. Is that not a great thing He has done for you? Ah, my friends, I resolved, I reminded myself, I prayed. I said, Lord, if You have saved me from this terrible shelling and bombing of the Japanese war, let me give You my life back. 1968, 30 years from the time I consecrated myself. I promised the Lord I will serve You. How, I don't know, but the time came, 1968. I left the university. The vice chancellor, a man you all know, called Dr. To Chin Chai. He's my Chin Nang, you know. We are both the same surname. He called me, he was very angry. He said, why did you resign without telling me? I said, not because of you I resign. I resign because I have to resign. Because I want to serve the Lord. There is a purpose for my going. Being the professor, delivering lectures, other people can do it. Delivering babies, other people can do it. Sitting there as the professor, other people can do it. But what I'm going to do, they cannot do it. I'm going to tell people about Jesus Christ and salvation and the worth of their soul, that they may realize what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul. That I'm going to do. 1968. So 1969, I left. 69 to now is almost 40 years. Next year is exactly 40 years. I said, dear friends, people ask me sometimes, you know, did you ever regret leaving that wonderful post called the chair of obstetrics? I said, not on your life. I'm rejoicing, every day rejoicing, because serving the King of Kings is better than to sit on the chair for 100 years. No point sitting there. The most I can do is to make the department world famous. And so what? So what? I said, other people can do just as well. But saving souls, they will not know how to do. Delivering babies, they can. But to deliver souls out of the hellfire and eternal destruction, they will know nothing about it. Tonight I say, dear friends, on this Easter Sunday, thanking Jesus, singing the songs of Charles Wesley, and be uplifted and be provoked and be so happy singing, it's not enough. They think, consider. May the Holy Spirit of God speak to someone tonight who will think, if I can live my life for the Lord to better effect, to greater profitability for the kingdom of God, why not? Why not? The day will reveal it when you stand before the throne, before the Lord, and say, Lord, I thank You. I gave my life for You, to live for You, to go for You, because on earth, Jesus has no hands and feet but Yours. No mouth and lips but Yours. And we today can do something for the Lord. Don't leave that opportunity. Don't let it go. You are a housewife, be a better housewife. Do it better. And don't forget your family worship, that the children that God has entrusted to you. You as a housewife can bring them to salvation. Even to bring them to the foot of the cross, that they too will give their lives to serve the Lord. Why not? Workers, fathers, all of you, wherever you are, whatever you do, there is something that you can do for the Lord who rose from the dead and who says, greater things than what I have done, you are going to do. Writing 6,000 hymns was given to Charles Wesley. What will be given to you? How do you know? When you give your life back to the Lord, He will show you in great and mighty ways. Christ the Lord is risen today. Is our closing hymn. Let's turn to it. And then let's all sing it with heart and heart and soul, mind and strength, and voices to the glory of God. It is in 211:211. And remember, Charles Wesley started as a nobody in Oxford, but he ended as a great man of God. Started a church called the Methodist Church. 211. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Let's arise to sing. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Millions of men and angels say, Hallelujah. Raise your joys and triumph, Lord. Hallelujah. Sing ye heaven and earth replied, the Son, the fellowship and communion and working of the Holy Spirit Comforter, be with each one of us, now and until the Lord Jesus returns. Amen.